Once upon a time, there was a dog. A dog. A dog. Oh, that's great. That's great. I was worried about that. Those of you who heard last week's show will have noticed I was having a bit of trouble doing the dog thing because I was coming down with something. I pushed through and got the dog thing done. I put it out of me. I edited out a coughing fit after it. And then you may have heard some hoarse throat, much of which I removed. But no, I pushed through and did the dog thing last week. But then I came down with something, but I seem to be getting over it now because I'm able to do it again now properly. Once upon a time, there was a dog. A dog. A dog. Although now that you mention it, it does sound a bit different to me than usual. It sounds like I'm trying to go, ow, which is not usually what I'm doing with the dog thing. That's a direction I don't want it to go in. I wanted to just do with a dog. I don't want to turn it into a howling sound. No, it should be just dog, not dog. Because it sounds like I'm howling like a fucking Scooby-Doo cartoon or something. That sounds ridiculous. Maybe it doesn't sound as ridiculous to you. I don't know. But I'll just make a mental note to be careful because I don't want it to go in that direction. Anyway, once upon a time, there was a dog. And this dog, let me tell you about this dog now. He was sitting down in his spare back room howling. He was practicing his howling by recording it. He had a big podcasting setup in front of him, so he was recording it. I think he thought he was particularly good at howling, and he thought he'd, oh, I'll make this as a podcast and send it out to other dogs who want to practice their howling. Well, he didn't realise that the other dogs who listened to this, they weren't listening to him at all. They pressed play, of course, and they heard the dog howling over the speaker, but then they just joined in. Their instinct was, as soon as you hear a dog howling, even if it's on a podcast, you start howling too. So they just pressed play. As soon as the dog on the podcast started howling, the dogs completely forgot they were listening to anything except themselves. They just go, ow. And of course then, the dog who originates this, who's just trying to go, dog. Oh no, he's howling. Wait, I forgot. Did I say he was howling? Or did I say he was trying to go, dog? It was probably howling. Why would a dog come on and say, dog? And how would a dog do that? A dog wouldn't be able to form the word dog like that. It would not. If a dog was able to form the word dog, it certainly wouldn't sound the way I say it. It wouldn't sound like, dog. No. You need a human mouth to do that, to contort your mouth into that shape. You couldn't do that with a snout and a dog mouth. You'd probably break your cheeks or something trying to squash them into that. Do dogs have cheeks? How do you think about it? I don't know. Do dogs have... Who am I asking? I suppose I could look it up. Well, I'm not going to. So now there you go. That's a dog thing done and dusted for another week. If you've done the dog thing, I can take that off the list. What did it take? 4 minutes. That's great. 4 minutes of dog material done and dusted. You're probably expecting it to go somewhere. If you're a new listener to this, you probably thought, oh wait, he said once upon a time there was a dog. But then he didn't say anything more about the dog, other than that he was making a podcast or something. That's ridiculous. Well, yes, that's the point. It's ridiculous. It's supposed to be ridiculous. What the fuck were you expecting? This isn't anything else. This is this. This is this. And it's unique. There's nothing like this on the planet. Out of 150,000 podcasts, you find me one podcast that sounds like this, and I'll tell you, that's my podcast, you fucking idiot. That's my podcast. You probably found another feed, because there's a few different feeds of us to go to different places. So you just found another feed, and you said, oh, this fella says I won't be able to find a podcast like his anywhere else. But here's one. I found one here. It's even got the same name. No, you fucking dimwit. You fucking dim. Maybe you can find one like the one I was describing with a dog howling that's presented by a dog. Maybe you'll be able to find that. I suppose that's not beyond the bounds of possibility. But that's not what I was talking about. I was talking about finding another podcast that sounds like mine, not the fictional podcast I was describing involving a dog howling and being howled at by its listeners. No, I'm sure those are two a penny. You'll find one of them anywhere. And if you haven't, there's probably people listening to this now who are setting one up on their own, going, finally, I found some use for this dog that I've had for several years. I'm going to make a dog podcast with my dog. I'm going to get it to howl into the microphone. Well, good luck with that. You're just going to get a sound of loads of slobbering and licking of the microphone. Good luck trying to edit that. Thinking there, you're thinking, oh Christ, this fella's back. Well, no, that's not the case. That's not how podcasts work. This came up because it happens to be next in your playlist. Your app has a playlist and you have settings in it. You can set what gets added to the front of your playlist or the end of your playlist. It just gets added. You probably just finished listening to Mark Maron saying, here's an interview with the latest former guest of mine who's died. Every time the celebrity dies now, Mark Maron of the Mark Maron podcast, which has a name that's not the Mark Maron podcast, but you don't need to know it because you can just look up the Mark Maron podcast and it'll come up. I think it's called WTF or something. Anyway, every time a celebrity in America dies now, Mark Maron puts out an old episode of his that says, oh, this fella's dead. I did a podcast interview with him once. I'm sorry to hear he's dead. But at least I recorded an hour of his life while he was alive. He probably didn't even know he was going to be dead when this came out. If you're ever on Mark Maron's podcast, all you have to do to get back onto that is to die. And then he reruns it. So what you do then is fake your own death every 50 weeks. And that way you'll always be available in the free feed of Mark Maron's podcast. It's as simple as that. Just fake your own death. I think you'd agree, faking your own death, while it's not the most desirable thing to have in your life, it's better than dying. And you can do it multiple times. You can fake your own death multiple times. Although you might have. If you don't do it properly, you may end up becoming the celebrity who cried wolf. But then you can just concoct some story that says you're faking your own death as an art installation. Because modern artists do stuff like that. They say, oh, here's an installation. It's an empty room that you can walk into in a gallery and it's just me sitting there looking at a clock. And then you go, oh, the eyes follow you around the room. Well, they don't. It's just me sitting on a chair in a room, not even a real room. It's more like an office cubicle. A room in a gallery isn't a real room. It's more of an office cubicle. They put in some partitions there to turn it into a space. It's still a space before they put the walls in, by the way. Anyway, the point is, if you're ever on Mark Maron's podcast, wait 50 weeks and then tell enough people so that Maron will hear it, or his producer, so they'll hear that you're dead. If you want to do this every 50 weeks, you can't just keep faking your death, because you'll end up going to jail for that. Apparently it's illegal to not be dead. But no, I suppose you just get enough people to put out rumours and spread a hint to his ear, so he goes, oh, he's dead. That's terrible. I did an interview with him about 50 weeks ago. I got a rerun it with an introduction saying he's dead and sorry to hear he's dead, and here it is. Now, of course, the second time you do that, he's going to go, oh, this fella's dead again. Let me have a look at this. Oh, yes, the last time he died was 53 weeks ago, and that's no longer in the free feed. So will I rerun the original podcast that he was in, or will I rerun the rerun where I introduce it saying he's dead? No, I'll do a new introduction, that's what I'll do, because I don't want to sound like an idiot. That's what Mark Maron will think. I don't want to sound like an idiot, so I'll do a new one. I'll delete the previous one that has me saying he's dead now. So there'll just be the original one on the feed. So I'll say 105 weeks ago I had this fella on and he's dead now, so I'm rerunning it. And I'm very sorry to hear that he's dead. I hope he is properly dead this time though. Not that I want him to be dead, it's just that I can't keep doing this every 50 weeks. No. Or can I? Well, that remains to be seen, Mark Maron. That remains to be seen. Today's episode of Into Your Head It's just getting underway now. It's just getting underway. Although I've just recorded the opening segment, which you haven't heard yet and may not hear at all, because as far as I'm concerned, it was a load of shit. Its only redeeming feature was towards the end of the segment where I start talking about the fact that it's a load of shit. So that may not be usable. Don't worry. If I decide that it's not usable, I'll put something else in instead. I won't be putting out shit. Don't worry. I won't be putting out shit. The only place I put shit is over there in that ensuite bathroom over there. I did that about half an hour ago. And then an arrival turned up from Amazon. Suffice to say, I have a second harmonica now. That's the new one. I won't demonstrate the old one because I don't want you to hear the contrast. And there's a reason for that. I want to have a harmonica in each of my two recording rooms because sometimes I record in here. And sometimes I record out there, so there's two different positions in which I record, and I'm far too important to be going around lugging a mouth organ from one room to another every time I go to record in another location. That's ridiculous. So I have two harmonicas now. I think I'll use this as my sitting room harmonica. Those of you who have a musical ear will be able to tell from episode to episode which room I recorded in, because the one I used just now, I think that's going to be my sitting room harmonica. And the old one that I've always used since the early days of this podcast, that's going to remain in here in the spare room. And there's people in the house who don't need to be exposed to this shit. I don't expose them to this shit. And in fact, when I'm doing an actual shit, I go even deeper into the spare room. Because I go into the spare room, and then I go into the ensuite bathroom that's off the spare room. So it's two levels away from the central location of the house, two levels away from the hall, in fact, and the hall is at least one level away from the sitting room where everyone is. Everyone who's in this house is either in the sitting room or somewhere else. They're not in the hall, so they're 3 to 4 levels away. If this was Inception and I fell asleep in the sitting room, then my first dream would be in the main hallway of the house, and then when I fell asleep during my first dream, the next level of Inception will be in here in the spare room where I'm recording now. And then when I need a toilet break, while I'm in here, I'm already in a dream within a dream. So I have to fall asleep within that dream and then go into the next level, which is the ensuite toilet. And if I fall asleep in there, then I'm pretty much fucked. There's nowhere to go from there, for one thing. For another thing, I don't want to be like Elvis. People who have lower taste and humour than mine, such as Dennis Leary, for example, like to make a big thing about how Elvis died on the toilet. Was it Dennis Leary or Bill Hicks? There's one of them, anyway. They like to go on about the fact that Elvis was found dead on the toilet, as if that's anyone's business. But no, if that happened to me on the toilet, I'd be rightly fucked, because I'd be within a dream, within a dream, within a dream. From which I don't wake up. Oh, wait, maybe I would just wake up then. I suppose that's good. No, I would just wake up then. I'd be in here in the spare room recording a podcast. Actually, that's okay. I'd be alive because I'd have woken up from the ensuite level dream where I dropped dead on the toilet. I'd just wake up out of that and I'd be in here recording a podcast. So that'll be fine. This house is a lot safer than I thought. Although, can you call it a spare room when I'm using it? If I'm using it for something, then it's not spare. A spare room is a room that you're not using. If you're using your spare room for something, it's not a spare room. You're lying. In fact, if you have a spare room... Oh, wait a minute now. If you have a spare room, it's not somebody's bedroom. It's not a spare kitchen or anything. It's not a spare... It's not a room that you're using. If you have two toilets and you're using one at the moment and the other one is unoccupied, does that mean you have a spare bathroom? No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. It means you have two bathrooms. You don't have a spare one, you have two bathrooms. Unless you keep the second one locked and you switch everything off, you disconnect the water and electricity from it and you say, oh, this is my spare emergency bathroom for when the other one needs renovating or something. I'm keeping this other bathroom as a spare. But no, if it's a spare, you've no business using it. That's like having a spare car, but you're using both of your cars. Those aren't spares. You have two cars. I suppose you could argue with a car that you have to keep using both of them occasionally, because if you don't run a car for a long period of time, everything seizes up. A bit like when you don't exercise, because you have too many cars, your muscles seize up.
Into your head.
I hope the interludes are going better than the actual ludes today. I'm not happy with how the ludes are going today. So hopefully the interludes will be better, and then the interludes can become the main ludes. And we'll do a coaster, a reversible coaster. You turn inside out and it's a different colour. I have that with some raincoats. You turn them inside out and you have a whole new look. One minute you have a yellow raincoat, next minute you have a blue raincoat. It's a completely different look, and you can go around saying, "Oh, how do you like my new raincoat?" And then they send around someone in a white coat and they cart you off to the mental hospital. Which I wonder how they do that, surely they can't just have someone forcibly put into a mental hospital just because they have weird tastes in rain gear. You're probably thinking calling it rain gear is a bit weird. No, it's not. My father used to call it rain gear. Now, maybe it's not called rain gear anymore. My father used to use this word in the 80s. But he used to say, "Bring your rain gear with you." And you go, "Yes, I have my rain gear with me," in the form of a little plastic raincoat that folds up into a little bag. So it looks like you're not carrying a raincoat at all. It looks like you're carrying a rather useless bag. You say, "Oh, I don't want to be wearing a coat now because the sun is out." There's a song that I think demonstrates this very well. I know this isn't really a point where there needs to be a musical interlude. I'm going to do it anyway because I want to test this. There's a song that goes, "The sun is out, the sky is blue, there's not a cloud to spoil my view, but it's raining, etc." That's my new harmonica. I know it doesn't sound any different from the old one. That's not true. The right end of it, I know you can't tell which end of it I was using just now, but when I got to the right end of it, his end, it sounded different than the other one. It sounded more bluesy and deeper or something. They can't make this sound with the old harmonica. That's completely different now that I think about it. Anyway, the point is, you're in the middle of your day and the sun is out. The sky is blue. The rain has gone away. Maybe there'll be a shower later, but for now, you fold away your portable raincoat. You fold it back into itself. Because it comes in the form of a bag. You roll it up and then you zip it up and it's just a bag that's full of raincoat. Well, it's a fucking useless bag. Because as soon as you form the bag, it's full of raincoat. You can't put anything else in there. Maybe you can slip in a biro or something. When there's a sudden shower and you open that, everything's going to spill out. So don't use enough imagination in designing these things. You could have a raincoat where when you roll it up, one of the zipped pockets is what the rest of the coat folds into, and you just close that up. But the other of the zipped pockets doubles as a pocket of the bag. In fact, it's the same pocket, it's just rolled up a bit. Now, you wouldn't put anything as wide or tall in it, but you could put something that's quite dense and small, the size of a fist. You can squash that in there. Admittedly, the pocket will have to change a bit in dimension when it's rolled up like that, because unless it's going to be a big flat thing. Because if you got a pocket that's on the front of your coat while you're wearing it, that could be quite a deep pocket. So you could put maybe a big piece of cardboard in there without rolling your hoop or folding your hoop. But as soon as you roll that thing up into its portable state, roll away that raincoat so it's in that little package, then that pocket becomes, it doesn't change in size, but it changes in shape. And it's going to be all rolled up, so you're not going to be able to keep that bit of cardboard in there without destroying it. Unless maybe you don't mind, maybe you're just keeping the packaging as a, I don't know what, maybe it's used packaging from something you used up and you're just keeping it there till you can find a recycling bin. I suppose that would work. Point is, every time you have this raincoat and you go and roll it up, you have to think, what's in the pocket of this? Will it retain its shape sufficiently to not destroy what's in the pocket? And that's going to be an issue. If you had the same problem with trousers, that could be even worse. If you had a fold away rain trouser that folded up into a little packet. Now, let's say you have pockets on that. There'd be zipped pockets If it's a men's trouser, there's also a zip in the middle that's not a pocket. And if you start putting things in there, and then when it's rolled up or when it's not rolled up, what's going to happen then? I don't know. Probably nothing. Maybe I'm overthinking it. When you have a rain trouser that's folded away like that, I suppose maybe you fold everything into the front zipper and then one of the actual pockets becomes the outer pocketing. I don't know. I don't have much experience in design, I think is what I'm saying here. Today's episode of Into Your Head, it's well underway at this stage. By well underway, I mean, I've been trying to make it for some time. I don't mean as a career or as a human being. I mean, I've been trying to make this episode for some time. Spent half a day recording it and then I listened back and thought, this is shit. This is pure shit. I'm going to have to spend the next month sifting through the dregs of this shit and sifting out the silt or whatever you sift out. Is that what they do with gold? They get one of those round things with a hole in it, a sieve thing, and you put all the mud and the sand and the dirt and the shit in it, and you shake it, so what comes out the bottom is the shit, and what stays and doesn't make it through the holes is the gold. Is that what it is? Then why does it have to be round? And why would they make colanders and things round? I suppose it's so they'll fit the saucepan or whatever. I suppose that's reasonable. But the thing that you're using to sift through shit and find gold, that doesn't need to be round. Unless I suppose you're putting it down a perfectly round well for some reason. Maybe you're putting it down there to wash it. Maybe you're putting it in the toilet. Maybe that's, oh, now that would make sense. You got a round strainer thing that you're using to sift through your shit to try and find the gold. Or maybe to find some drugs that you swallowed because you were going through an airport. If you want to sift through your shit to find that, you'd want it round because you dip it into the toilet. And because it's round and bulbous, it'll only go down so far, which is fine. You don't want it to go down past the U-bend. You want it to stop at some point. You spoon up the contents into the sieve thing and then you shake it. And then if there's anything left, it's, oh, no way, it's not going to work. Nothing's going to fall through the holes then. No. Nothing's going to fall through the holes that's solid. So you're going to be left with all the solid stuff, plus the gold and the packets of drugs or wherever it is you've been trying to fish out. So no, I haven't thought this through very well. But not to worry. If you're at some stage in your life where you're having to do that, where you're feeling the need to do that, if someone's pressuring you to do that, I'm sure you've got people who can advise you. Or people who can order you, or people who can cajole you into the correct method. So let's not worry about that. Let's not worry about that. You're probably thinking, I wasn't worried about that. Well, I was. I was worried about that. I had this thought. I'm here worrying about this podcast episode that I've been trying to make for several days. And next thing, as I'm trying to think of a way to describe that to you using an analogy involving sifting through shit to get gold, now I have a thing on my mind where I'm worrying what will ever happen if I have to sift through my own shit or someone else's shit in a toilet bowl using a strainer or a sieve. Maybe the thing they use to sift gold isn't the same as the round colanders that I'm thinking of. Because my only experience that comes anywhere near to using a sieve or a strainer is in cooking. When you boil an egg, after you take it out, you pierce it with a fork and then you put it in a colander and then you shake it over the sink. And any excess liquids that don't stay in the egg come out and they drip down into the sink. And then you realise you've done it a completely arse ways. That's not how you boil an egg at all. It's not. That's not how you... That's probably how you poach an egg. I've never poached an egg, but I understand from my father's efforts when I was a child, there's quite an unusual process if you're not a regular poacher of eggs. If you don't have the right implements at your disposal, it's a very delicate procedure where you have to get the egg out of the shell, but keep it intact, but teach it how to swim in boiling water, and then you simmer it, but don't overboil it, but don't underboil it. Don't let it get too cold or too hot. And then you sift it out with a, I don't know, presumably some sort of implement. Probably doesn't matter what you sift it out with. I'm sure a spatula would be fine. Although I'm not, why am I saying I'm sure a spatula would be fine? I've absolutely no idea how you poach an egg. I've no idea. I think it's something to do with putting a raw egg onto water and floating it and cooking it like that. I don't know. I don't know. And if that's the case, surely if I'm boiling an egg inside a shell, that's poaching an egg. I'm just doing it inside a shell. I understand there are gadgets you can get, an oval-shaped thing that you put the contents of an egg into and put it in the microwave. And they call that poaching an egg in the microwave. So surely you can poach it inside its shell. I don't see why not. If water is necessary, I presume you can inject water into a hole in the shell. Presumably you have to just make sure that the water is lighter than the contents of the egg. So the water goes to the bottom. So inside the egg, I presume you get an egg that's not fully developed. The contents of the egg haven't grown to fill up the hole space inside the egg yet, so there's still some empty space where the water can be. So you inject the water, and as long as the contents are heavier than the water, oh no, the contents would have to be lighter than the water, so they'd float on top of the water inside the shell, and then they'll cook delicately like that, but they'll still have the protection of the shell to protect them from everything except the boiling water that you've just injected into their fetus area. But apart from that, the shell will still be there to protect them every inch of the way through the poaching process, right up until you inject the boiling water right into their womb. And then it'll still be protecting them then just from everything except the boiling water. The contents then are floating on top of the boiling water. Now, presumably, if the egg contents are so immature that they haven't even grown to fill up the whole eggshell yet, because that has to be the case because there needs to be space for the water, then that means they probably haven't grown very heavy yet either, so they'll still be light enough to float on water. So that solves that problem. Doesn't solve the problem about the shit and the gold, though. Maybe I'm overthinking that. I think probably now that I think about it, when you're sifting for gold, you're probably not sifting through shit most of the time. You're sifting through mud and sand or whatever. We've never had a gold rush in this country. That's the thing that you Americans have, he said. Oh, look, there's gold over there. If we hurry, it'll still be there. Quick, quick, hurry up, because gold is a best before date. If we don't rush enough, it'll all be gone. Well, it's not all gone. Gold lasts forever. It doesn't have a best before date. Gold is for, that's what they say in the ads for these jewelers anyway. Every time you go to the cinema, there's an ad comes on and it says, oh, look, diamonds are forever. Look at this. Although, wait, that's for diamonds. Does gold last forever as well? I'm not sure. Well, if diamonds last forever and you're mounting them on something that's made of gold, presumably the gold would have to last forever as well. You don't want to build a house on a temporary foundation. If the foundation isn't going to last as long as the house, that's a problem. So you don't want a diamond on top of a short life gold. Or do you? Maybe you don't give a shit. You just want the diamond. You don't care about the gold. The gold is just a mounting thing that you put it onto. And you think gold rings are two a penny. You can just get a new one every couple of years. Like if you get an artificial heart valve. You have to get that changed every 10 years. And the same may well be true of gold rings that are holding a diamond that has an eternal lifespan. If the gold runs out, you just check in and get another one every 10 years or so. I don't know how that works. I'm wearing a gold ring right now that's at least 15 years old. Doesn't show any signs of rotting or melting or doing anything like that. I haven't even lost it. Just needs to last a lifetime. Two cats walk into a bar. One of the cats goes straight up to the bar counter and says, hello. Can I have a pint of your finest lemonade, please? And the man behind the bar says, certainly, sir. Will this shit that comes in a little bottle that's designed for children do? Because we're not really the type of country that has lemonade. If you're a foreigner listening to this, incidentally, and you come over here, you're coming over from America or somewhere that has weather, and you think, oh, I'd love a nice cold lemonade now. Don't get your hopes up. Although, if you're lucky and you happen to pass one of the 40 or 50 McDonald's in this country, you go in there, you can get an iced lemonade. Comes in 1.5 flavours and you have a sip of it and then your brain freezes. You get brain freeze almost immediately. They put these things in a plastic cup. It's got a see-through lid on it, but the lid has a big hole wide enough for the handle of a teaspoon to go through. I would estimate just slightly, about a millimeter too narrow for your average teaspoon to go through. The shovel part of the teaspoon anyway. Now, I know you're thinking you could just stir it using the handle of the teaspoon, but I'm not using it as a stirrer. If I was using it as a stirrer, I would just get one of the little stirrers that they have. They're easy. You can get a stirrer in McDonald's. That's not a problem. You get a little wooden stirrer. But no, why would you stir an iced lemonade? You wouldn't. Frozen iced lemonade is not something you stir. Although maybe it is now that I think about it. But that's not what you're using it for in this case. In this case, you're using it as a substitute for the stupid paper straw. Now, I'm not saying you should go and get a plastic straw in protest at the wanting to save the planet. No, no, don't do that. There's no need to be an arsehole about it. But bring your own teaspoon. Just make sure you get one that's about a millimeter narrower than the average standard teaspoon that you get in a cafe where you're having tea. Use that and then eat the lemonade using the spoon. People will be looking at you all around, but you just look back because they look equally ridiculous. Half of them are cramming sausage sandwiches into their faces, these so-called sausage sandwiches. Some weird Americanized version of a sausage that comes in the shape of a burger. Sausages do not come in the shape of a burger. That's weird. You're weird. You Americans are weird. And your McDonald's that you brought in over here is weird. Quite delicious, but weird. You say, hello, can I have a sausage and egg muffin thing, please? Certainly, sir. Sausage and egg muffin thing coming up. And you say, oh, that's great. Are we within a McDonald's story inside the two cats walk into a bar story now? Is that what's happening? And the barman says, I beg your pardon. And the cat says, I didn't say anything. And the barman says, oh, sorry, that was the fella inside the... I can't even remember now. Was I doing a two cats walk into a bar story that suddenly turned into a McDonald's story? And the cat says, I think you did. And the barman says, mind your own business. I'm dealing with another customer inside this further level of story, one level down from here. You don't need to poke your nose into it. And the cat says, that'd be ridiculous. It's not like it's a medical, it's not like this is a doctor's or a pharmacist or something where you're dealing with their private issues. No, no, you're just serving someone up a frozen lemonade in a McDonald's in your dream, one inception level down from here. And the barman says, I suppose you have a point there, but what if in the inception dream that I'm in, one level down from here where I'm in a McDonald's, what if McDonald's in that dream world happened to sell medical supplies? What about that? And the cat says, well, if they're buying lemonade, that's not medical supplies. And the man behind the bar says, exactly. What if someone comes in and they've told their family or their employer that they're coming in here to get medical supplies into the McDonald's and they just buy a frozen lemonade instead? And I tell other people, such as, for example, you, in my other business, one level up here in the bar, I tell them that the customer in the McDonald's in my one level down dream wasn't buying medical supplies, he was buying frozen lemonade. That's a breach of confidentiality. That could be highly illegal in that dream world. I could go to jail. If I go to jail in that dream world, I never wake up. And the cat says, but you're awake now, aren't you? And the man behind the bar says, oh, yes, I suppose that's true. I suppose that's true. Two cats walk into a McDonald's. One of the cats goes straight up to the McDonald's counter and says, hello, can I have a pint of your finest frozen lemonade, please? And the man behind the window says, sir, this is a drive-thru. And the cat says, I know, but I'm walking through now because I don't have a car. Do you want the cat to drive a car through here? Is that what you want? Do you want the cat to drive a car? Have you any idea how fucking dangerous that would be? I don't have opposable thumbs. I can't move my arms in any direction other than forward and back. And even then when I do that, it looks ridiculous. It looks like I'm trying to stop someone. Can you imagine trying to turn the steering wheel like that and working the pedals while I'm there with my belly exposed to the world while I try and sit in this weird seat in a car with my front paws operating the steering wheel and my back paws trying to reach the pedals? How do you imagine that would work? And the man behind the drive-thru window says, I suppose you have a point there, sir. So then why don't you go over there and come in through the pedestrian entrance and come in and up to the counter? And the cat says, because the counter is about 5 times my height. And the man behind the window says, I can't help but noticing that you're a humanoid cat, sir. I think you could reach the counter, no problem. And even if you can't, we can still hand stuff down to you, or we can step around the counter. And the cat says, this is a load of bollocks. And the man behind the window says, oh, well, I'm very sorry about that. And the cat says, no, I wasn't talking about you or your service or anything. I was just saying this story in general is a load of bollocks, this content. There's no reflection on you at all. Don't take it all personally. Everything isn't a feedback card I'm filling in about you. No, I'm just saying this story is a load of bollocks. It's a load of bollocks. It probably never even happened. Did this even ever happen? And the man behind the window says, well, it seems to be happening right now, sir. Whether you can say that means it did happen. No, you can't at the moment because it's happening now in the here and now. But by the time you finished recording this and come back to it, then it will have happened because then it will be in the past. And the cat says, oh, I see. Oh, I see. You're one of them, are you? You're some sort of philosophy student. Is that what it is now? And the man behind the window says, well, as it happens, yes, I am. I'm a student of philosophy. I'm not in a college or anything. I'm just a student of human nature and philosophy. I go around thinking. Is that a problem for you, sir? You have a problem with me going around thinking? Yes, I do. I think. And I'm not ashamed of it. I think. I open up my brain and I use it to think. And the cat says, when you say you open up your brain, what do you mean exactly? Do you mean you take the top off your skull like a brain surgeon? And the man behind the window says, no, you fucking idiot. I think. I use my brain. I open up my mind. I don't open my brain. I keep an open mind is what I'm saying. And the cat says, no, that's not what you're saying. You're saying you open up your brain. This is an unusual item that I'm going to do here now on the program. I'm going to read some listener correspondence that I sent late last night. After listening to the preceding sentence, and the email from myself, Neil O'Carroll, says ending or continuation needed for cat drive-thru segment. Now that relates to the preceding segment where you heard the cat attending a McDonald's drive-thru and purchasing a frozen lemonade. So I'm not sure, was he in the second level of an Inception dream at that point? Or is that separate from what they were talking about in the bar earlier? Doesn't really matter though for these purposes. The point is, the ending which you haven't heard, which you had to clip off, is just a cat going, this segment is a load of shit. It's pure unmitigated shit. Now if the cat had gone on a bit more and elaborated, they could have turned it into a useful ending. Well, I didn't, so I have to do it myself. So on behalf of the cat, let me say, the rest of the preceding segment is a load of pure unmitigated shit. He needs to be flushed down to the 7th level of the sewers, into the 7th level of Dante's Inferno. And then it needs to be put on a gondola. Now that's going to sound a bit weird. In Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, in the movies they made of that book, you see this magical gondola going through a river tunnel. Well, it's a bit like that, except in the 7th level of hell, down in the sewage system that this shit that we're trying to get rid of gets to. He needs to be put on a gondola like that on a river of molten lava and or boiling water. Now, the boat needs to be quite thick, of course, because you don't want it to burn a hole in it, because you want it to travel. They put the shit onto that gondola and it moves along there for a few miles because it's reached the bottom of the sewer system, the bottom level of hell. So there's nowhere further down for it to go, so it has to keep traveling somewhere. We're not going to let her have a rest. No. Hell is about not having your rest. Needs to keep moving. So we put her on this gondola. It doesn't burn a hole in it, but it doesn't keep the heat out either. So this shit gets the arse burned off it for the whole length of the journey. It's thinking maybe, oh, I'm getting on this gondola here. I can have a nice rest. I can at least relax for a while. No, there's no rest in hell and there's no rest in the sewers. If you're a shit segment that needs to be flushed down from this podcast. No, you're going to burn in hell for eternity. You're going to be dragged along in this gondola. It's being towed by Satan's imps. They're not in the boat because it's too hot for them. They're on a canal towpath just beside this canal thing. I know I said that it was a river earlier. A canal is a type of river. It's just not a natural one. Because there's nothing natural about that shit. That shit is not a real shit. It's a failed segment. A failed segment ending, at least, that was clipped off. It was so bad that the cat from that segment had to get me to send myself an email while I was falling asleep, telling myself to put in a new ending. That's how bad it was. So there's no sympathy for that piece of shit that's in the canal in hell in the gondola. There's been no sympathy for that. If you have sympathy for that, this podcast is not for you. It's not for you. Anyway, that's the end of the show. Thank you very much for listening. It's very nice of you. I do appreciate you listening. Good morning.